Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, John Russell, and Dan Friedel. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A New York woman who lost her job is using some of her free time to help feed thousands of people in her community. Sophia Moncayo leads a group of volunteers who give out food to those in need in a neighborhood in Queens. On a recent rainy day, a large crowd lined up outside the Mosaic West Queens Church to receive free food. The team members helping Moncayo were wet, cold, and tired. Some lifted heavy food containers while others separated items and removed snow from the street. Moncayo led her team in prayer. "We're super grateful for these people here. In Jesus' name we pray," she said. The group around her then cheered and added, "Amen." "Now," Moncayo said, "let's get to work." The helpers receive no money, but said they were just happy to be there for someone else that day. Moncayo has led the food assistance program during the coronavirus pandemic. It launched in March, and she took charge of the effort a month later. The program currently serves hundreds of people. Moncayo has faced her own struggles during the pandemic. She was let go from her job at a building company and remains unemployed. She also has a martial arts business with her husband that has suffered financial difficulties. But she has continued to raise money in the community and lead the effort to provide more than 1,000 boxes of food to families two times per week. "I think helping others has to do something to your brain chemically, because if we had not been doing everything that we're doing, I think this would have been a much scarier time," Moncayo said. "Being able to dig in and help others, it really gives you perspective and helps you believe that you're going to be okay, too," she added. Most of the food is donated by a neighborhood restaurant and other businesses and organizations. There has also been help from the Farmers to Families Food Box program, which is run by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Moncayo, who was born in Colombia, said she was moved to volunteer by her Christian faith, as well as her own experiences with food insecurity while growing up in New York. She noted that she used to join her family in lines to pick up bread and cheese from food programs. Sometimes, she said, she felt ashamed. "One of the things that we wanted to make sure is that we don't look at people on the pantry line as people that need food and really focus on, hey, these are our neighbors." Neighborhood resident Carol Sullivan lost her job as a stage manager when New York theaters closed because of the pandemic. At first, she was not sure about receiving food from a pantry, but she said Moncayo and the other volunteers made her feel welcome. It has been a link to the community that I didn't have before, and it also saves a lot of anxiety over having to have money to pay for food, over having to pay for the bills, Sullivan said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Hundreds of Nigerian girls who were kidnapped last week from a school in the country's northwestern Zamfara state have been released. The leader of Zamfara state announced the girls' release on Tuesday. There has been a series of such kidnappings in the West African nation in recent years. The girls, aged 10 and up, gathered in Zamfara State's Government House conference room. They appeared calm, talking to one another while reporters took pictures of them. They will receive a medical examination before they are returned to their parents. Zamfara Governor Bello Matawalle said that 279 girls had been freed after being taken from the Government Girls Junior Secondary School in Jongebe Town on Friday. The government last week said 317 girls had been kidnapped. It was not clear if the higher number was a mistake or if some girls were still missing. Alhamdulillah, or God be praised, it gladdens my heart to announce the release of the abducted students, Matawalle said in a Twitter message early Tuesday. Officials said bandits were behind the abduction. The officials were describing the groups of armed men who operate in Zamfara State. The men kidnap people for money or to demand the release of jailed group members. One of the freed girls described the night of the abduction to the Associated Press. We were sleeping at night when suddenly we started hearing gunshots, she said. They were shooting endlessly. We got out of our beds and people said we should run, that they are thieves. The attackers soon found her and some classmates and held guns to their heads, she said. I was really afraid of being shot. Officials ended the interview before the girl could give her name to AP reporters. Nigeria has had several such attacks and kidnappings in recent years. In 2014, Boko Haram members abducted 276 girls from a secondary school in Borno State. More than 100 of those girls are still missing.
Last spring, Kelly Rivera of Atlanta, Georgia, became so concerned with how local schools were dealing with the coronavirus pandemic that she decided to teach her children at home. Her children are back in public school and mostly attending class in person for now. But Rivera is thinking about putting her younger son in private school next year. And she hopes the state of Georgia might help her pay for it with an increase of school choice programs. In many American states, lawmakers and supporters of school choice are hoping to use the concerns of parents like Rivera to pass new laws about school choice. School choice suggests the use of public money to pay for private schools or teaching at home.
some kind of school choice program already gets public money in 29 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, notes EdChoice, a group that supports school choice. Supporters of school choice say they hope to make new gains this year as public opinion studies around the U.S. show private schools have been more likely to offer in-person learning. John Schilling is president of the American Federation for Children, a group that supports school choice programs. Schilling used terms such as mad and frustrated to describe how parents feel. He added that the pandemic has shown how inflexible the K through 12 system is. K through 12 means kindergarten through 12th grade, the beginning year through the end year of the public school system. Opponents of school choice argue that such programs will take money from traditional public schools. Opponents suggest that school choice programs could be damaging for areas that serve low-income families. Vouchers play an important role in the debate. Vouchers are publicly financed savings accounts and tax credits to be used for private schools. Voucher programs generally target students in less wealthy areas where schools are struggling. But opponents argue, in some cases, vouchers help families who could pay their own way for private school. Jessica Levin of the Education Law Center said that vouchers take money from public schools and allow private schools to discriminate in all kinds of ways. The Education Law Center is part of an anti-voucher group called Public Funds for Public Schools. Levin said private schools are not required to admit students. She added that private schools do not have their academic results publicly examined, and they may not offer special education services.
There are new proposals in many states that already offer help with funding for private schools and homeschooling. The proposals appear more likely to pass in Republican-controlled states, where schools have been more likely to open for in-person classes. In Georgia, Republican State Representative Wes Cantrell has introduced a bill that would create educational savings accounts. These accounts would let parents use money to pay for private schools or homeschooling costs. The proposal would give the money to different groups, including students in areas not offering full in-person classes. The major concern I've had over the last year has been from parents who don't have a public school offering in-person classes, Cantrell said. If the public schools are not meeting their needs, they should have another choice. In Missouri, Republican State Majority Leader Caleb Roden said his top priority is a bill giving tax breaks for donations to organizations providing scholarships to private schools or other public schools outside a student's home district. School choice measures have failed in the state many times before. Roden, who sends his child to a private Christian school, told the Associated Press recently, "I've got a lot of left and center-left friends who are more frustrated with the public school system than they ever have been in their lives." He added that such parents have realized they have so little control over the say of their kids' education that something needs to be done about it. In Indiana, which already has one of the nation's largest voucher programs, Republicans are trying to increase the number of students getting help by up to 40% next year. Rivera herself wonders about the conflict between her wishes to support her kids and support public schools. "I would love to put my kids where I can offer certainty," she said, "but I don't know what that does to our schools. I don't know the stresses it puts on our teachers." I'm John Russell.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The House of Representatives ended the day's business early on the rainy afternoon of April 12, 1945. The House Democratic leader, Speaker Sam Rayburn, invited a friend to come by his office for a drink. "Be there around 5," Rayburn said. "Harry Truman is coming over." Harry Truman was the vice president at the time. The events are described in a book about his presidency, Conflict and Crisis, by Robert Donovan. World War II was not over yet, but it was a quiet afternoon in Washington. President Franklin Roosevelt was in the southern state of Georgia. He was resting after his recent trip to Yalta to meet with British Prime Minister Winston Churchill and Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. The president's wife, Eleanor, was at the White House working on a speech supporting the new United Nations. Harry Truman was at the Senate, but he was not interested in the debate that was taking place. He spent most of his time writing to his family back in Missouri. When the debate finished, he went to the office of House Leader Rayburn to join him for a drink. It was an afternoon Truman would never forget. Rayburn and his friend were talking in the office before Truman arrived. The telephone rang. It was a call from the White House asking whether the vice president had arrived yet. "No," Rayburn replied. The caller asked him to have Truman telephone the White House as soon as he arrived. Truman entered a minute later. He immediately called the White House. As he talked, his face became white. He put down the phone and raced out the door to his car. Truman arrived at the White House within minutes. An assistant took him up to the president's private living area. Eleanor Roosevelt was waiting for him there. "Harry," she said, "the president is dead." Truman was shocked. He asked Mrs. Roosevelt if there was anything he could do to help her. But her reply made clear to him that his own life had suddenly changed. "Is there anything we can do for you?" Mrs. Roosevelt asked the new president. "You are the one in trouble now." Within hours, the world learned the news that Franklin Roosevelt, the longest-serving president in American history, was dead. He died of a cerebral hemorrhage, bleeding in the brain. Americans were shocked and scared. It was 1945, and the United States was still at war. Roosevelt had led the nation since early 1933. He was the only president many young Americans had ever known. Who would lead them now? All eyes turned to Harry Truman.
"Our departed leader never looked backward. He looked forward and moved forward. That is what he would want us to do. That is what America will do.
Harry Truman in his first speech to Congress as president.
With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt. I want, in turn, to assure my fellow Americans and all of those who love peace and liberty throughout the world that I will support and defend those ideals with all my strength and all my heart.
Truman had been a surprise choice for vice president at the Democratic Party nominating convention in 1944. Delegates considered several other candidates before they chose him as Roosevelt's running mate. That was at a time when presidential candidates did not make their own choices for vice president. Harry Truman lacked the fame, the rich family, and the strong speech-making skills of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a much simpler man. He grew up in the Midwestern state of Missouri. Truman only studied through high school, but took some nighttime law school classes. He worked for many years as a farmer and a small businessman, but without much success. Truman had long been interested in politics. When he was almost 40, he finally won several low-level positions in his home state. By 1934, he was popular enough in Missouri to be nominated and elected to the United States Senate. And he won re-election 6 years later. Most Americans, however, knew little about Harry Truman when he became president. They knew he had close ties to the Democratic Party political machine in his home state. But they had also heard that he was a very honest man. They could see that Truman had strongly supported President Roosevelt's New Deal programs. But they could not be sure what kind of president Truman would become. History gave Truman little time to learn about his new job. The most important power he now possessed was the power of atomic weapons. And soon after he became president, he faced the decision of whether or not to use that power for the first time in history. Truman firmly believed that using the atomic bomb was the only way to force Japan to surrender. So in August of 1945, he gave the orders to drop the atomic bombs on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Having found the atomic bomb, we have used it. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war. Only a Japanese surrender will stop us. It is an awful responsibility which has come to us. We thank God that it has come to us instead of to our enemies. And we pray that he may guide us to use it in his ways and for his purposes.
Days earlier, Truman had met in Potsdam, Germany, near Berlin, with the British and Soviet leaders, Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin, to plan the peace. The war in Europe had ended several months before.
Good evening from the White House in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, I have just returned from Berlin, the city from which the Germans intended to rule the world. It is a ghost city. The buildings are in ruins. Its economy and its people are in ruins. Our party also visited what is left of Frankfurt and Darmstadt. We flew over the remains of Kessel, Magdeburg, and other devastated cities. German women and children and old men were wandering over the highways, returning to bombed-out homes or leaving bombed-out cities, searching for food and shelter. War has indeed come home to Germany and to the German people. It has come home in all the frightfulness with which the German leaders started and waged it.
The three leaders agreed that their nations and France would jointly occupy Germany. They also agreed to end the Nazi Party in Germany, to hold trials for Nazi war criminals, and to break up some German businesses. Foreign ministers of the Allied nations later negotiated peace treaties with Germany and other countries, including Italy, Hungary, and Romania. Eastern European nations agreed to protect the political and economic freedom of their citizens. However, Western political experts were increasingly worried that the Soviet Union would block any effort for real democracy in Eastern Europe. Truman did not trust the Soviets, and as he made plans for post-war Asia, he promised himself that he would not allow Moscow any part in controlling Japan. The leader of the American occupation in Japan was Army General Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur acted quickly to hold a series of trials for Japanese war crimes. He also launched a series of reforms to move Japan toward becoming more like a Western democracy. Women were given the right to vote. Land was divided among farmers. The idea of a national religion was ended. And the educational system was reorganized. Japan began to recover, becoming stronger than ever as an economic power. Truman and other world leaders were dealing with the problems of making peace. But at the same time, they were also trying to establish a new system for keeping the peace. The United States, the Soviet Union, Britain, and the other allies had formed the United Nations during wartime. But soon after Truman took office, they met in San Francisco to discuss ways to make the United Nations a permanent organization for peace. In July of 1944, many of the world's top economic experts met to organize a new system for the world economy. They gathered at a hotel in Bretton Woods in the American state of New Hampshire. They created the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund to help nations rebuild their economies. At the center of all the action was Harry Truman. It was not long before he showed Americans and the world that he had the ability to be a good president. He was honest, strong, and willing to make decisions. I was sworn in one night, and the next morning I had to get right to the job at hand, Truman remembered years later. In an oral history recorded with the writer Merle Miller, Truman said, "I was afraid, but of course I didn't let anybody know that. And I knew that I would not be called on to do anything that I was not able to do. That's something I learned from reading history." Truman spoke of how people in the past had much bigger problems. Somehow, he said, the best of them just went ahead and did what they had to do. And they usually did all right.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken declared Wednesday that the relationship between the United States and China is the world's biggest geopolitical test of the century. In his first major foreign policy speech, Blinken said the new Biden administration would manage ties with China from a position of strength.
China is the only country with the economic, diplomatic, military, and technological power to seriously challenge the stable and open international system.
Blinken said the Biden administration's other major foreign policy objectives include working to contain the global coronavirus pandemic, building a more inclusive global economy, and addressing the global threat against democracy that has been fueled by the pandemic. Myanmar security forces and protesters faced off in several cities on Wednesday, with media reports saying as many as 38 protesters were killed in the violence. Reuters' Libby Hogan reports.
Security forces fired rubber bullets, stun gun grenades, and tear gas to break up the protests. Later, there were reports of live ammunition fired, and at least 9 people were killed. Across the nation on Wednesday, 9 people were hurt and at least 2 people were killed in the second largest city of Mandalay. That's according to the Myanmar Now news agency. In Yangon, hundreds of people were detained, including several protest leaders and activists said, as well as local media reports of firing and deaths in the central towns of Mingyan and Magway. Media also reported 5 people were wounded in the town of Monywa.
That's Reuters' Libby Hogan. You can find more on these stories and the rest of the day's news at voanews.com. You can also follow us on the VOA mobile app. This is VOA News. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for an attack that killed 3 female media workers in eastern Afghanistan late Tuesday. Reuters' Emer McCarthy reports.
The women, who worked for local broadcaster Anacast TV, were aged between just 18 and 20 years old and were shot on their way home from work, according to Afghan officials. Hospital officials say that a 4th woman wounded in the attack is in a critical condition. The victim's funeral was held Wednesday in Jalalabad. Afghanistan's President Ashraf Ghani condemned the attack, which local police had initially blamed on the Taliban, who denied any involvement. Violence has risen around Afghanistan, and media workers and civil society members in urban areas have been targeted in recent months, even as the peace process continues in Doha.
That's Reuters' Emer McCarthy. The prosecutor of the International Criminal Court said Wednesday she has launched an investigation into alleged Israeli crimes in the Palestinian territories, plunging the court into the midst of one of the most fraught conflicts of the past half century. Fatou Bensouda said in a statement the probe will look into crimes within the jurisdiction of the court that are alleged to have been committed since June 13, 2014, and that the investigation will be conducted independently, impartially, and objectively, without fear or favor. The decision drew a swift condemnation from the Israeli government, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accusing the court of hypocrisy and anti-Semitism and vowing to fight for the truth. The Biden administration is warning against virus fatigue as many U.S. states ease public health restrictions, AP's Sagar Meghani reports.
Today, we are at a critical nexus in the pandemic.
CDC Chief Rochelle Walensky says the nation's on the verge of being able to vaccinate most people in coming months, but new deaths and infections have plateaued at a troubling level.
Fatigue is winning, and the exact measures we have taken to stop the pandemic are now too often being flagrantly ignored.
Walensky says the CDC has been clear. States should not be lifting restrictions, and Americans should keep wearing masks and taking other protective steps. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Pope Francis is pushing ahead with the first papal trip to Iraq despite rising coronavirus infections, hoping to encourage the country's dwindling number of Christians who were violently persecuted during the Islamic State's insurgency, while also seeking to boost ties with the Shiite Muslim world. Find more at our website, voanews.com. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.
Ooh, yeah, my man. in Africa. Welcome to your super show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. From our studio here in Washington, D.C., I am David Vandy. Hot, rocking, and beautiful sounds as usual coming from across the African continent as we make our first stop Nigeria with Tosin. This guy is a professional drummer based in Maryland, USA. This is I Will Be There For You. This is good. And right after that, I Wanna Be Your Man by Sierra Leonean-born Marcelino based in Canada. And right after that, Africa by Sini featuring Fireman from Rwanda. Well, let's start off with Nigerian-born Tosin right now in I Will Be There For You.
At all.
Don't run away from me.
Don't run away, don't run away. tell you settle down, you face in front. That in the camp, you get up and run. Chase every man up and down the hunt. Girl, I think it's time you better serve him down.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man. Sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man. Cause you think I cannot spend? But when you need a love, you come chase me again.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man. Cannot spend between the needle of you come chasing me again. I pause before you take off the drugs. I wanna be the man to love you till you're menopause. Love you for a reason and for a cause. Not for competition, not for applause. Girl, pause before you take off your drawers. Once you make this step, there'll be no reverse. It's time you say bye-bye to regret and remorse. I'm gonna love you till the end, girl, for better and for worse.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man. Sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man. I cannot spend between the needle of you come chasing me again.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man. I'm sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend between the needle of you come chasing me again.
Everybody know my son, you don't really
have
friend. I'm sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend between the needle of you come chasing me again.
I wanna be your man. I'm sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend between the needle of you come chasing me again.
They tell you settle down, you face in front. That thing you can, you get up and run. Chase every man up and down the corner. Girl, I think it's time to let myself be done.
Girl, friend,
girl, friend, I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man.
Girl, friend,
girl, friend, I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man.
Africa.
Africa, Cine featuring Fireman of Rwanda, and right before that, I Wanna Be Your Man, Marcelino from Sierra Leone, and Nigeria's Tosin, and I Will Be There For You. You are listening to your favorite music show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. I am David Vandy. I'll be right back with more music.
African Beats.
Africa.
Africa.
Voice of America.
Yes, indeed, the African Beat on the Voice of America. Now let me take you to Uganda with Radio and Weasel in Obude. And right after that, No More Kwayo, I Love This Beat, by this great man from Ghana, Asem. But let's go to the top right now with Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda.
success. More papers, how much massive why you come on? They debate us, planning and plotting against us. Ever since we moved in, they wanna vacate us. That's when your mentor need a evicted. They thought I wouldn't last, how many can you predict it? Then I drop run away, then I drop ringtone. Then most star run away, they see, say I be king. Charlie, I be too smart for your shallow thinking. You know you was silly, I with doubts, my eyes blinking. I'm shining with a silver lining. I don't just rap, there's a scheme to my rhyming. And the wait is over. No more weight on my shoulders. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more bio. I'm pacing, I'm getting more dough. No more bio. If you be pretty girl, Charlie, give me blow. No more bio. This year, skinny girls need a new figure. To get the biscuit, me flow no matter with me, I'll pass up a biscuit. I feel I'm a better chum, some of you artistic. Me ding, my car, mano, this a lipstick. Munche, bear me beer, or your muff muff. Tell a little skinny dude, just wanna act up. Tiny bestie, I pull my low rough. I get that be flex, Charlie, you be local. For the other squad, they don't deserve to be mentioned. Puss in boots, craving for attention. Cry babies, waiting for detention. Crusading to attend my convention. The wait is over. No more weight on my shoulder. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold. Very on hold. And they play better shows. No more bio. I'm pacing, I'm getting more dough. No more bio. If you be pretty girl, Charlie, give me blow. No more bio. This year, skinny girls need a new figure. I'm actually did it, but I'm tuned for a sick, man, I take it easy. When me they said you're winning money, baby, they be with your sim. They are grouty with your GD, they feel I get the bakery. You are just a breastseller. Critics rate me, they say I be bestseller. The more you they hate me, you they give me energy. They all can't wait to recite my elegy. The wait is over, no more weight on my shoulder. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold. Over. And they play better shows. No more bio. I'm pacing, I'm getting more dough. No more bio. If you be pretty girl, Charlie, give me blow. No more bio. This year, skinny girls need a new figure.
No More Bio by Asem of Ghana, and at the top was Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda. This is the African Beat on the Voice of America, and I am yours truly, David Van Der, here in Washington. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial.
The African Beat with music of Africa from the Voice of America. We love it.
Yeah, I want to love you, baby. I want to love you,
baby girl, I know the line.
I want to love you, baby. 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 I
get to put in my pocket, come in the right hand. We go understand soon, begin familiarize. Like your tantalizer, Emma, see my name and bracket today. You don't tell it, are you? You, I need. You don't tell me to you. I want to do you like a queen. Take a treat for nobody. And I'm this so lonely. No, go, no, go, no, go, no, go, no, go, no.
TTA.
What TTA? You made for me, my mind. dance all night, and she know the time. I'm okay, because come dance by my side. Of all the girls I know, you hot like fire.
This is Emerson, the last man standing from Freetown, Sierra Leone, on the African Beat with David Vandy, Voice of America.
The African Beat on the Voice of America, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and we come to you Mondays through Fridays on your dial. Let's get back to some music right now. Knock out the sound of Johnny Clark from Liberia. It's what's coming up next. And right after that, Bado by Hashalu Hondesha of Ethiopia. And taking your minds back a little bit to this old but beautiful music by Salif Keita of Mali, Tekere. But right now, Knock You Out. And let's get some Knockout by Johnny Clark of Liberia.
Baby, you knock me out.
Johnny.